Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. And once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.
Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 1099. This is your host, Danny. We're going to have an interview with IO Interactive, with the executive producer of the game, all about Hitman 3 that just came out a couple days ago, and it's been getting great, great reviews. So we had an awesome, awesome chat for like a good 30 minutes or so, and we're going to hear it here only on Gamertag Radio. But first, head over to GamertagRadio.com, listen to our past episodes, and make sure to share with your friends. You could also find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio and make sure to follow us, subscribe, or even post a review. If you would like to be part of our fan mail segment or episode, here's how you could contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so now let's go straight to the interview, and we'll be right back after this.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Hey, we're back here at Gamertag Radio. This is Danny, and joining you this week, we have the executive producer of Hitman 3, Forrest. How are you doing, Forrest?
I am great. How are you?
Very, very good. Very good. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll go straight to the game for the interview?
Yes. My name is Forrest Wood at Large. I'm the executive producer, as mentioned, on Hitman 3. I'm here right now in Copenhagen, but I'm American. What else do you want to know?
Well, so this is not your first time working on this title, right? This is you work on all three games, the trilogy?
That's correct.
Nice,
that's
nice.
Correct.
So let's go back. Let's go back. There's people that probably are playing this for the first time or haven't played this at all. What you could tell us about the series and also about the main character of the game?
Okay. So Hitman is a stealth puzzle game. I also like to think of it sometimes as a create your own adventure sim. It's a game where you explore many locations throughout the world, execute missions in various contained open sandboxes. It's a game that rewards patience and observation and experimentation and creativity. You can and are encouraged to play the game in a multitude of ways, including hard stealth and social stealth.
Yeah, you know, I've been trying to play the game here, and yes, you definitely have to have a lot of patience, a lot of patience. But is it, what is it like your style? You're more like, okay, let me just disguise. How the way that you play the game, Hitman, for you?
I like the sneaky, sneaky.
Sneaky, sneaky.
And I like to be really slow. I feel like life is chaotic and fast-paced, and I enjoy slowing down. So I actually just really love to just really take my time and enjoy every square inch of the environment. I like to listen. I like to watch. I like to like just sit there and cover and just sort of watch the world go around me. So I think that's my style, is just like extremely slow and extremely patient. And then sometimes I get impatient and then, pull out my silenced pistol and then just take out the target. But, but for the most part, I like to, just like observe and sneak around.
Yeah, for me, I'm more of like, okay, I just kill someone. Okay, let me just hide them because I don't want somebody to find the body, you know. So I do that a lot, you know. But sometimes I get caught and I panic. I don't know where to go, you know. So, but it's good. I love the challenge. Like, that's something about that game, about this game, that yes, you it might not work out for you like the first time you play, but I think the more you start playing it, you discover new things to do in the game, and then you know, okay, I'm gonna do it this style, this way, and it works out. It works out. Everybody has like their own way how they play the game, which is really, really cool. So everybody's gonna have their own experience. Really, really cool.
Yes.
Yeah. So this game, I know this is the trilogy, the final conclusion of the story, right? So what was your goal to make this stand out than the previous two games?
So Hitman 3 is closure on the storyline. Mm-hmm. And what we really wanted was to go back to the basics in terms of the gameplay, but actually make an emotional journey with Hitman 3 and actually make Agent 47, AKA Tobias Reaper, relatable. So yeah, we wanted players to empathize with him. Mm-hmm. And to feel something while they play the game. We didn't want this to be just purely mechanical, like cold death murder simulator, but to actually feel something and to have an emotional journey across the missions. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we wanted to, embrace some darkness, various aspects of darkness, and also the light. Metaphorically tonally.
Yeah, I mean, is there like for those new players that start playing the game, do they need to play the previous two games in order to understand the story, or do you recommend for them to do that, or just go straight to 3?
So the official version is that we always encourage people to, play the tutorial and start from the beginning and play in, play the story campaign mode, if you will. But actually, reading a lot of comments and hearing that people are actually having a good time just playing from from Hitman 3. So the official recommendation is to play the tutorial and start from the beginning. But we also did realize when we were making the game that some players would want to just jump straight in, just dive right into Dubai. And, I hope that it's a good experience for players who choose to do that. And if they get frustrated, I hope they remember that there's always a tutorial that they can go back to.
Yeah, really cool. Really cool. Yeah, notice too, a lot of the reviews I've been reading has been like how the levels design has like, it's one of the best parts of the games too. It's not only the story, but there's so many things you could do in the in those different levels in Hitman 3, right? Was there something that you want, you and your team wanted to do so it could also stand out compared to the previous two games too when it comes to level design?
So it's really interesting, you know. I mean, Hitman gets so much love for the level design, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, yeah, and that is so awesome. But in terms of world design and world building, you know, it is all of the disciplines that are contributing in seriously meaningful ways. So usually the level designers are the first to say, it's a team effort. You know, yeah. What about the environment artists and the game designers and the sound designers and so on and so on and so on. But, you know, we really, with Hitman 3, right, I have kids in the background and it is a little bit distracting.
There's special guests too. Special guests.
They're so loud. Yeah, okay. So with Hitman 3, we didn't want to hold back all of the crazy ideas that we had been bringing with us from, through the past 8 years, we really just decided to go for. So I think, with level design, we just felt confident, brave, and, we didn't know, we don't know when we're going to be creating a new location from the ground up. So, that's what we wanted to do, was just like fulfill every dream that we ever had.
Yeah, and how has been the reaction with you and the team? You know, reading the reviews and has it been really, really positive? I think that's awesome. You know, something that you've been working on for a couple of years, and you see the reaction from like the gamers and the media. I think it's awesome, right?
I think we feel seen. You know. Yeah. We really are feeling the love. I mean, people who had maybe like old fans of the IP who played the earliest games but never really, you know, got in, maybe left before or after Absolution, never really got into this iteration of Hitman. Mm-hmm. So we felt love from, you know, those people who have returned to the IP, new players we talked about, and then of course, you know, the main audience for this game and the player segment that we really thought of first and foremost was the core fans, the fans who have been with us on the journey since Hitman 2016 and through Hitman 2. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, we just are feeling the love big time. And I feel like finally it's an alignment of expectations. No one's confused about it. Why is this not the most awesome action shooter? I feel like people really understand that this is a puzzle game. Mm-hmm. It feels great.
Yeah.
It feels great. Of course, we have, you know, server issues that we're working on and major hiccups that were, you know, gutting upon release. So it was a lot of mixed feelings when we released, you know, first the reviews coming in and then realizing that we had these server issues and that we had let down, you know, a lot of our core fans. And sadly, the people that were most affected by the server issues and the carryover issues were the people with the most data, the most amount of data in their save games. Mm-hmm. So, so the team has just been working around the clock to sort out those issues so that we can properly, fully celebrate. Yeah. You know, it's great to feel good about the reviews, but I think until everyone can properly play the game, it's like we're not done yet.
Yeah.
No, our job is not done. We have work to do.
Yeah. I mean, that's good that you bring that up, because, you know, sometimes I think especially the hardcore fans, man, they're the ones that are going to be the first one to buy in the game, you know, and seeing those issues. I think once the community sends you more feedback, the fans sends you more feedback, and I think both sides will learn from this, you know. So I think it's going to be a much better later on once your team gets to fix the issues in the future, you know. So yeah, take the time, but it's good so far, positive. There's more good than bad, I think.
We are learning and we are trying to do better. Mm-hmm. I think at this point, you know, we're down to the volume of issues is a lot more down. So now we're actually looking at specific profiles, mm-hmm. and fixing those.
Yeah.
So that's, mm-hmm. that's progress.
Yeah. Was there any other challenges for you, like in the team while developing this game, while working the trilogy? Was there any challenges too?
I mean, but besides challenges,
yeah. But the ones that stood out, to you,
I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's so we had a lot of challenges, and if COVID hadn't happened, you know, mm-hmm. I'd be bringing up different points. Mm-hmm. But you know, partway through development, halfway through, we got a third in. We got slammed with COVID. Yeah. And then that, you know, that posed a whole new set of challenges. So, you know, first, when you have a team of really ambitious, really skilled people who are trying to give it all their best, and their creativity and their passion and ambitions are explosive. First, there's a challenge of aligning what it is that we are and aren't doing. And just as we were sort of achieving that, and we had finally scaled up the team, almost scaled up to the team as we needed to, then COVID hit. And then we, most of us, started working remotely. And of course, there's all the challenges, you know, with COVID that other teams are probably reporting, like, you know, we didn't know if we would be able to book VO talent. Mm-hmm. The VO studios were closing down, and it was hard to, you know, finalize software license deals. It was tough to finish recruiting. I mean, there were all kinds of sort of operational and boring admin-y things, yeah. that suddenly required a lot of attention. And then there's also just, you know, the uncertainty and the psychological trauma of living in an international pandemic and trying to, you know, ship a game when we said we would ship it. So, mm-hmm. I feel like we could have a series of talks on the challenges, and like go deep in just one discipline or one area or one month. Mm-hmm. I think a big part too about COVID was just that, you know, we didn't know when it would end, and a lot of how we work in Scandinavia and in Europe is, you know, you work really intensely, extremely focused, very precise, and then you have your vacations where you can, you know, let go, and that's sort of the work cycle. You know, you do like deep, intensive work, and then you have vacation periods. But we didn't have any vacation periods on this project. Mm. So I hope that, you know, the team can, you know, soon, you know, hopefully the world will be in a better place with COVID, and everyone in all industries can just exhale and take their breaks in whatever form, because it's just been grueling, you mm-hmm. know. It's like, I don't know, running like three marathons back to back in a hurricane or something like that.
Yeah.
When you just set out to do one, you know.
Yeah. No, but it's good. It's good to see that the final product has been mostly positive. So even with all the challenges, so that's a good thing too. Was there any games that inspired you and your team to add in the game or just come up with ideas based on a game that maybe did it pretty cool back in the days or something? Was there any inspirations there too, or no?
Well, I will say when we, I mean, so there's two things that come to mind. One is the murder mystery in England. The team had always wanted to do a murder mystery, even before I had joined the team. Mm-hmm. So for at least 5 years, maybe 8 years from when Hitman 2016 started development. The team played a few different games as a part of the sort of reference and inspiration gathering phase. And What Remains of Edith Finch was one of the games that was played by the team. Another, you know, thing that we have in the game is persistent shortcuts. Mm-hmm. Which I think, you know, people have already made the connection. But, you know, with persistent shortcuts, we really just wanted the player to feel, we wanted to encourage, you know, tactile feedback, and we wanted players to feel like, you know, the actions that they did were enduring in the world. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so we do like try to, you know, look at other games and get inspiration. And of course we have different people on the team that have their favorite games to inspire them.
Yeah. You know, playing Hitman 3, that first level, it had this like Mission Impossible vibes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, that really had cool. Like,
yes. Yes. I mean, clearly there was inspiration there.
Yeah.
In terms of the storytelling and the way that we started that. I mean, I myself, I spent 5 years on the Tomb Raider franchise. So I'm, you know, I think
game.
I brought a
game.
Lot of, yeah, thank you. So, you know, I've made many a mansion in my day, and I definitely brought, you know, some of that sensibility and just, you know, what I've learned about good environmental puzzle design. You know, I've definitely brought that in to, you know, to Hitman. Mm-hmm. And every one of us who on the team who have worked on other IPs have certainly brought our learnings, you know.
Mm-hmm. Now, for those that also going to start playing this or just started, why do you think it's important to do the side missions, you know, before working on the main quest, do you think? You think it's very important to do that or just go straight to the main campaign?
What do you mean by the side mission?
Because one thing I noticed is when I was trying to finish one of the, you know, the main campaign, I unlock like a side quest. I'm like, man, should I go through that or should I just continue with the main campaign? And it made me want to go. Ooh. It made me want to go to the side quest. And I've been starting to discover new things in the same location. I'm like, wait, oh my God, it's more than just two campaigns. You know, there's a lot of other things you could do in the game, you know? So I think that was really cool. I think the replay value is pretty high because of that. You just started discovering so many cool things and there are new ones. So,
yeah. I mean, there are these missions and sandboxes are so wide and so deep and they have so much to offer. I mean, I think that what you're calling the side quests or side, you know, we call guided mission stories.
Guided mission stories, okay, yeah.
We just want to, you know, they're really just there to like power players, or if players, you know, they don't really want to do the puzzling for themselves, they want a little extra hand holding maybe, or, you know, just like maybe a nice sort of intro to the mission. You know, some players will do the main guided mission story first, and then, you know, go crazy in the sandbox after they feel like they've, you know, learned like maybe about, you know, the target loops or, mm-hmm. you know, what the NPCs are doing. Some people go at it a different way. You know, I tend to go at it a different way where I just like to observe and, you know, sort of figure it out for myself. And then mm-hmm. maybe I'll try a mission story later. But it's really, you know, yeah, it's really, you know, it's purely optional. But it's, I hope that, you know, if I hope that the general public just sort of understands, that, you know, Hitman just has a lot to offer, and the guided mission stories, four of the six missions, we have three really extensive, sort of like heavy writing guided mission stories. But we have, I would say, at least a half dozen more unguided mission stories that you can do. And then, of course, an infinite number of other ways that you can achieve, complete the objectives / take out your targets, like creating environment traps or, chandelier drops or sniping or a push from a ledge, for example.
Yes. I like to, I kind of do the same too. I'll go and just listen to the conversations and see where they're going to go, what they're going to do next, So I just take my time. But sometimes I just don't have the patience, man. I'm like, all right, I just want to go straight to the action, So, but it's cool. One last thing. What was your favorite? What was your favorite thing about working on this project for you as a developer? Take your time. You don't have to answer that question.
No, I love the question.
Yeah.
I love it. It's hard to figure out my top, there was a lot to love.
I'll tell you one from my point of view. I think going through the whole COVID with you and your team, it managed to force you and the team to do the project even better, I think, with the resources that you had remotely. And look, it became like a pretty cool product, it's a pretty cool game, So it's been, I think that's for me from the outside, but maybe there's more stuff from the inside, I don't know, so.
Yeah. I have two things, if that's okay. Is that okay?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
A one and a two.
Yeah.
So I think the one was just, I really felt like the team was able to bring so much confidence in especially in the second half of the development. Like, I just really felt like the team was just flexing their muscles, and it well deserved, really just the pleasure and privilege of working with the team at the top of their game. That was extraordinary. Mm-hmm. And then I think on the product side, working on VR, it really gave me a whole new perspective and on the locations. And I felt like I got to fall in love with each location again through visiting it in VR. Two things, getting to see the team sort of come together and finish so strong in spite of COVID. And then also just the gift of the perspective of VR. Mm. We work hard and fast, fast and furious. Mm-hmm. And it was just really nice. It was sort of like seeing an old friend, who you haven't seen for a while. That's what, going back to the especially the Hitman 2016, I hadn't spent time myself in those locations in a little while, and it was nice to get reacquainted.
Yeah, that's really cool. Really cool. Now, before us, I just want to say thank you and congrats. I'm excited to continue playing the game, and I'm excited to see what's next for you and the team. I know there's a future project coming up that this was announced. I'm super curious to see how that's going to come out in the future. But see, I think it's going to be a great project because Tomb Raider was amazing. Hitman is been getting great reviews and great feedback. I think the next big thing is gonna be cool and great for you guys too. So can't wait. Very, very cool. Congrats.
Thank you. I want you to know that we do have a fairly decent sized team, staying on and working on Hitman Live. So there's a lot more to come as part of the live service of Hitman.
Cool. Oh, by the way, I have to mention this very quick. I'm in shock that the Nintendo Switch version works perfectly great. It looks so good too, right? It looks really good. Really, really good. Yeah.
I was in shock too.
Yeah. No, hey, you could play Hitman on the go, right? You could play Hitman on the go.
Yeah. I mean, Hitman in the cloud, it just blew my mind. Really blew my mind.
Yeah, that's crazy. Insane. Crazy. But I just want to say thank you for the interview, and I can't wait for what's next.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
No problem.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio episode 1099. Stay tuned. We're going to have more stuff coming up later this week. And more surprises coming up. So head over to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, listen to our past episodes. You could also find us in any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio and make sure to follow us, subscribe, and also post a review. All right, if you would like to be part of our fan mail discussion, here's how you can contact us.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You have 5 new messages.
Hey, Carl, it's Jen from Finance. Could you submit your expenses this week?
Hey, Carl, happy Friday. It's Jen, Finance. Just need those receipts today.
Me again, Carl. Really need those receipts, like last week. Please just tell me where they are. Are you by your desk right now?
Finance teams, you shouldn't be chasing down Carl or anyone else. With Ramp, expenses are sent with a text and reminders happen automatically. Switch your business to ramp.com today and love finance again.
There's a myth a lot of us grow up believing that hair loss is just a part of life. It happens. It runs in the family. Once it starts, there's no stopping it. But here's the truth. That's outdated thinking. Scientific understanding of hair loss has advanced in recent years. Today, we have a deeper knowledge of underlying causes, and we've developed science-backed solutions that are both effective and safe. And that's at the very root of Happy Head. Dermatologist-led innovation offering stronger, FDA-approved ingredients that work. But what really sets Happy Head apart is how personalized it is. They don't do one-size-fits-all fixes. You fill out a comprehensive consultation, and their board-certified dermatologists design a formula specifically for your hair loss pattern, goals, and lifestyle. And whether you're early in your journey or more advanced, Happy Head offers targeted options that actually work. Topical treatments, oral capsules, or potent dual-action bundles all delivered directly to you, discreetly and freshly compounded in the U.S. Most people start seeing results in 3 to 6 months. But the real magic? It's sustainable. This isn't just about growing hair, it's about keeping it long term. So no, hair loss isn't inevitable anymore. Visit happyhead.com and find out what's possible when science, expertise, and personalization come together. Hair happiness starts here.